Hi, everyone, and welcome to this month's Title Now pop-up webinar. I'm Melissa Murphy, the Fund's General Counsel, and we hold these pop-up webinars every month on different topics of general interest to the settlement services industry. We try to focus particularly on what might be of interest to fund members. And we call them pop-up webinars because we try to keep them to 30 minutes. We don't have any PowerPoints. We just want to have conversations with different guests every month on these various topics. And then we push the audio out to our podcast, which is conveniently called Title Now. And we do that so that you can easily listen to the content again or share it with colleagues that you think might be interested in it. And it's super easy to subscribe to the podcast. It's free, and you can get it through any of the companies that you subscribe to, your other podcasts. So please subscribe. We would love to count you amongst our listeners, so do it today. This month's topic is the FAR Bar contract, which is widely used in Florida, primarily for residential transactions. And we're going to focus on paragraph 9 of the contract. And that's the paragraph that deals with closing costs, fees and charges. And even more specifically, we're going to deal with paragraph 9A and 9B. And we're doing that because some really important changes have been made to those paragraphs, and we want to make sure you're aware of them, and we want to talk about how those changes came about and what those changes mean. Now, post your questions in the question area on your screen to the right. We're probably not going to have time to answer any of your questions today during the live webinar, but I promise you we will follow up with you after the webinar and try our best to answer your questions. So, who's going to help me talk with you about this topic? With me today are Shannon Widman, our Deputy General Counsel, and Colleen Sachs, Underwriting Manager here at the Fund. Both of them have a great deal of familiarity with this topic, so I think they're great people to talk with me today about this topic. So, Shannon, where should we start?
Well, let's start with looking at where the changes are. So, paragraph 9 used to say that the party that selected the title agent paid for the title insurance premium and related services, including closing services. So now, what happens? Now closing services are listed under paragraph 9A as a cost to the seller or paragraph 9B as a cost to the buyer. They are separated out from the choice of who picks and pays the title insurance premium. So, Colleen, can you help us here? What are these closing services?
I will do my best. It's very nuanced, so that's a big question. But Florida statutes do give us some guidance here. The Florida statutes define closing services as services that are performed by a licensed title insurer, a title insurance agent or agency, or an attorney agent in the agent's or agency's capacity as such, and they are including, but not limited to, preparing documents necessary to close the transaction, conducting the closing or handling the disbursing of funds related to the closing in a real estate closing transaction in which a title insurance commitment or a title insurance policy is to be issued. These are essentially the charges that occur in every closing, as opposed to charges that occur in just some that you can charge separately and itemize them separately from closing services fees. There is ongoing discussion and debate over what is or what should be included in a title agent's closing services fee, but at least that statute is giving us a starting point.
So why does the contract refer to the Florida statutes for a definition?
Well, we spent a lot of time discussing the possible definitions to use in the contract. We had long lists of items that we were trying to include in that definition, then we were trying to pare it down. But there were so many variables, and there's always the possibility of changes in what closing services and closing services fees are, because courts interpret the definition as the industry changes. So after all of that discussion, we decided it was best to just go directly to the definition that's used in the statute.
So who is this we you were just referring to?
We is the Florida Realtors, Florida Attorneys Joint Committee. I have been a member of that committee for a number of years now.
Well, tell us more. What the heck is this joint committee?
Well, the Joint Committee was established just over 50 years ago to bring realtors and attorneys together so that there was some cooperation among the groups, and each would have input into things such as the residential contracts, because realtors and attorneys come at these issues from very different perspectives. So right now, there are 13 Florida realtors on the committee, and they are appointed by the Florida Realtors Group. And there are 13 Florida real property attorneys, and they are appointed by the Florida Bar. We also have people from the Florida Realtors Council that some of their staff attorneys work with us as well.
So how did the changes to paragraph 9 come about, and why do we need them?
Well, in addition to making changes that are required by statute as they're needed, for example, if there are disclosures that have to be made, we make those changes right away in the contract. The Joint Committee produces a new contract about every 3 years or so, and we consider changes in the interim as we're made aware of those issues. And this might be through a new case interpretation of the contract or by comments from realtors and attorneys who use the contract. And this closing services issue was brought to the Joint Committee by an industry group, and it was about 10 years ago that it first came up, and it has been the subject of debate ever since. So the industry asked the committee to address closing services because the contract combined closing services fees with the title search and the primary title services charges. And these are really very separate charges, each with their own definitions in the Florida statutes. So as we were looking at the title and the title-related services section of the contract, there were a couple of concerns that came up. One was, if there was no change made in the contract and these things were all still grouped, a title agent might be required to perform closing services for both parties, but not be paid for those services by one of the parties. Another concern was, if the change was made, then a title agent might charge an outrageous fee to a party that didn't select them. And there wasn't too much of an issue with this in Miami-Dade, because typically it was accepted there that the buyer paid the title and the seller paid the closing services fee to the agent or to their counsel. But in counties that were buyer pick and pay or seller pick and pay counties, there was confusion because the FAR bar contract mandated that one party was going to pay for all of those things. So as we took a close look at the language concerning the title and the title related charges and the closing services in the contract, it became obvious that the language did create a situation where the title agent might have to perform for both sides and not be paid by one of the parties, or that a possible bad actor might charge outrageous fees to a party that didn't actually pick them. So it resulted in an inequitable situation for the closing agent and for the buyer or seller. Another issue was, if the closing agent could only charge one side, then it might result in an unfairly inflated fee for that side where the other side didn't have to pay anything. Or if the closing agent charged both sides, once again, you had one party that would be paying someone that they didn't hire or retain. So the committee acknowledged that there was concern about forcing the party that didn't select the closing agent to use that closing agent to provide needed closing services. So now there is language in the contract that allows that party to select someone to provide those closing services. And we hope that this language is going to help alleviate that concern that someone might be taken advantage of.
I find it interesting that, I mean, you commented that it took 10 years to make this change. And I find that really interesting. And I wonder if that's a combination of a couple of factors, because I am really familiar with the Joint Committee. And I know that both the members from the realtor community and the members from the Florida Bar, they have term limits. And so there is turnover in the membership. So necessarily, there's been a great deal of turnover in the membership of the committee, and perhaps the perspectives have changed on what's appropriate and fair and equitable, not only vis-a-vis the consumer, but vis-a-vis the closing agent. But also, think about how our industry has changed over the past 10 years. And what both the realtors and closing agents are dealing with that is so different than what it was 10 years ago. We're all dealing with the incredibly increased risk of fraud, property fraud, seller impersonation, where the realtor is the first person that's being duped into taking a listing and sending it to the closing agent. And then the closing agent is duped by that fraudster. But then the wire fraud situation, where we have to take incredible steps to make sure that people's money is protected, all of that has created an incredible burden on both the realtors and the closing agent to make sure that their transactions are handled properly, safely, securely, because certainly we share that joint goal to have the consumer experience a successful closing. And so I wonder, I mean, what's your perspective on that? Do you think that contributed to this result in a consensus being reached by the committee?
Oh, it clearly did. Each of us serves 2-year terms. You can be reappointed for another 2-year term, but we do have a fair amount of turnover on the committee. We have 2 attorneys from each of the circuits and 2 realtors as well. And so we did have people that would come on that had a very definite opinion one way or the other on how to handle this. But absolutely, as fraud and the need to try to make sure that your transactions were secure, it took more people, it took more steps, it took more hardware and software. It made it more expensive, and it became more important that certain things could be charged for, and that they be charged for fairly by each of the to each of the parties.
Well, and let's talk about how members across the state handle these charges. It can't be the same for everyone. We've already acknowledged that there are some carve-outs with Miami-Dade, as there have been in the contract and for years. So how are closing services charged across the state? And how does this change to paragraph 9 play into the local custom differences?
Sure. Yeah. So, Miami-Dade has its own custom and they do their own thing. But the other counties each handles things differently. Clearly on the title policy side and the title search side, we have some counties where the buyer picks and pays and some counties where the seller picks and pays. But now we don't have the closing services in that. But some counties would charge both sides a fee and some don't. In my home county, I never, when I was in private practice, charged a fee on both sides of the settlement statement. But if I talked to someone from a different county in Florida, say further south than we are, they would be appalled at the idea that I didn't charge on both sides of the settlement statement. In some counties, the closing agent prepares all the documents for both sides. But in other counties, the closing agent prepares documents for whoever hired them, and the other side might be represented by an attorney. So it is different from one county to the next. And that's one of the things that makes the contract so interesting and trying to draft the contract so interesting, because we need to not only keep in mind that we have different issues dealing with realtors and attorneys, but different issues based on actually where you are and where this transaction is taking place. If you want to know more about who pays for title insurance by county, there's a great article by Fund Underwriting Counsel Chris Bracken, and it discusses who pays for the title insurance by county, and it's found in the July 2023 Fund Concept. And the name of the article is called "And the Survey Says."
Yeah, that's great. That's great. It's neat to see how things are handled across the state, and it also makes sense why the changes to paragraph 9 can be a little bit overwhelming for some. But so let's talk about these changes. What are the actual changes to paragraph 9? What do we need to know?
Yeah. Well, the changes resulted in closing services fees being separated from the title search and the primary title services. And when I say primary title services, that is defined in the statute, and it includes things such as clearing underwriting objections and actually issuing a title commitment and the final title policy. So we've taken those closing services, and paragraph 9A, which covers the costs that are to be paid by the seller, now includes a line for the seller's closing services. Likewise, paragraph 9B covers the cost to be paid by the buyer, and the buyer's closing services is now a line in that paragraph. In paragraph 9C, it has removed closing services from the sentence referencing the title policy premium and the title search, because now we're covering those in 9A and 9B. And it adds that closing services shall have the meaning ascribed to them, to that term in section 627.7711, and that each party is going to bear their own closing services fees payable to the closing agent or to such other provider as each party may select. Now, there are three options still that you have. You have seller pick and pay, you have buyer pick and pay, and then you have the Miami-Dade Broward regional provision. Closing services have been deleted from those now, since they are now covered in paragraphs A and B, and those are only going to talk about the title charges and the title-related services, the primary title services.
Wow. Okay. So, Melissa, maybe you're a good person to ask about this. How do these changes affect the way members handle closings from here on out?
Well, I think that there are a lot of decisions that members are going to have to make, at least in from my perspective. Some members may not think this is terribly challenging for them because they have a clear vision of what they want to do. But I do want to send this message, which might sound a little negative to start with, but what I want to state is that this change is not a blank check for a closing agent to automatically charge both sides a closing services fee. It doesn't mean you automatically do that on every single transaction. You don't charge a fee unless you do something for the party that you are charging a fee to. And so if you don't deliver closing services as defined under the statute, then you don't charge them a fee. So it's not a blank check. And please, please do not start doing that. And so I urge you to step back and give some thought to what are the types of closing services that you deliver to a buyer, deliver to a seller, and just give that some thought. Take a look at the definition of closing services. Now, I will certainly agree that the definition of closing services in the statute if you really take a hard look at it, and I've started doing that in light of some proposed statutory changes, which I'll not to that specific provision, some proposed statutory changes to another section of Florida law that I'm going to get to in a minute. You can really start to scratch your head about what is meant by closing services. But, you know, start giving some thought to that. And then the other thing that I would urge fund members to give some thought to is, please don't get in the habit of giving away your services for free. There have been a lot of things that have come up in just the immediate past that I have heard fund members and other title agents say, oh yeah, I just automatically do that and I don't charge extra for that. And I'm talking specifically about the complying with the GTO and filing the report required by the GTOs, the geographic targeting orders, and the affidavit the buyers are required to file to comply with the foreign interest in real property. If you start giving away those types of services for free, I just am concerned about the precedent that that sets. Because as of today, as far as we know, come December 1st, all of you are going to have to comply with the FinCEN anti-money laundering law that is going to require that you report every single cash transaction on residential property being sold to an entity or a trust. And the reporting requirements for that are as onerous, if not more onerous, than the reporting requirements under the geographic targeting orders. And it would be very difficult for me to understand why you would do that and not charge for that service. So I want you to really give some serious consideration to the types of things that you are sort of that you are sort of automatically giving away for free. But I do understand the market forces, the competitive forces that you are dealing with. And God knows I can sit in the fund headquarters office and say, don't give things away for free because I'm not dealing with competing with the person down the street. And I understand that. So I don't mean to make light of what you're dealing with there, but just give some thought to that. I will also say God bless Colleen and the other people on the joint committee because this was a very hotly debated topic. I believe it will continue to be a hotly debated topic, and this language is probably not in its final version. It will probably be changed. We would love to get feedback from you on how this paragraph is used in the market, how you use it, how you interpret it, how people react to it. We would love to get your feedback. So please, please send your feedback to any of the three of us. We would love to get that. And before we run out of time, I do want to follow through on my promise to alert you to a proposed statutory change. So the Department of Financial Services, they do regulate licensed title agents, not attorney agents, but we strongly recommend that attorney agents, fund members, comply with whatever licensed title agents must comply with, short of the licensing requirements, because it's just good form. And if it's in the insurance code, you should. So they are proposing that the obligation to disclose to a consumer what your charges are going to be at closing, which is implied in the unfair trade practices law that is on the books that you must fully disclose what your charges are going to be prior to the closing. They are lifting that up and now making that a statutory provision. And they are adding to Section 626.8473 sub 5, all fees associated with closing services must be disclosed to the consumer in a clear and conspicuous manner before the date of closing. Any fee that was not previously disclosed to the consumer may not be charged at closing. Now, that was the original language proposed by DFS. As soon as I saw it, I said, what does before the closing mean? 5 minutes before the closing? 2 weeks before the closing? So what does before the date of closing mean? And I wasn't too confused about what closing meant, because I think everybody knows what closing means, but DFS came back with a definition of closing. So we're continuing to work with DFS on refining some of this language to make it a little more clear what your obligation is under this statute. But it's important for you to know that there's probably a 99% chance that this is going to go on the books and there is going to be a statutory obligation for you to disclose prior to closing exactly what your fees are going to be. And, you know, before you even post this question, no, I don't know what the enforcement strategy is going to be for DFS, but this indicates to me that they're pretty serious about this. Someone is pretty serious about this at DFS. So they are concerned about it. And so be aware of that. And pairing that with this change in the contract just indicates to me that we should be hyper aware of making sure that we focus on the consumer. We focus on treating the consumer as fairly as, well, we just focus on treating the consumer in a fair manner. And that whatever you charge the consumer, you be able to clearly articulate and explain that to anybody. Anybody that asks you, whether it's the realtor, the consumer, an auditor, whoever it might be, that you be able to explain that in a very clear fashion. Justify your fee. Any other comments?
It sounds like you've told us, play nice in the sandbox. It's not a blank check. Your services are valued and worth something, and that there's more to come.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Colleen, any other comments?
No, I think you covered it nicely there.
Well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Please post some questions. We would love to hear from you. And as you use this new contract form, we would love to hear your feedback, because feedback is what helps us do more webinars like this to get more information out to you. And of course, as always, thank you for your support of the fund.